This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge, and you're with Rev Joy.
And Tal, hello.
And Tal, you're pressing all the buttons tonight.
I am.
Are you feeling nervous?
I am not as nervous as I thought I'd be.
That's good. We've got an action-packed show tonight.
I know, we're jumping from one person to the next.
Yeah, we're talking to Michelle from Freedom to Be about 2014 for them and what's coming in 2015. We're hoping to talk, if we can find him, Reverend Dr. Carl Hand, about MCC's Crave Conference in January. And then we're talking to Reverend Gavin Ward about the big Christmas Eve service in Sydney. And we're going to discuss all sorts of things like sex and chaplaincy. And
isn't that what this show really is about? Sex and chaplaincy?
That's the best summary. So.
What's your show about?
Yeah. But we're going to start with a track that I think is quite appropriate for us, and it's called Crazy Enough. And this is by Mercy Me.
What if we learn to love our brother for nothing in return? Oh, how the rules would change.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and that was a dedication to Tal. It's called Crazy Enough. Just for you. Our first guest tonight is the president of Freedom to Be. Welcome, Michelle, to Spirit Lounge.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, it's good to have you. We haven't talked to you for a while.
No, it has been a little while.
I know. What have we been doing or thinking? Michelle, Freedom to Be, what's some of your highlights from 2014?
Well, we've had a really good year, as we always seem to do, which is terrific. We've had some really wonderful speakers this year, a nice variety, which has always been good because we are such a diverse community. We've had someone from the transgender community. We've had a mother and son from a SEVI background, which I've been told, Seventh-day Adventist, and that was really beautiful, actually. Very, very emotional time for them, but very open, very honest about their journey together.
Are you saying there that they were leaving?
No, the mum and the son are both still in the Seventh-day Adventist church, and yeah, the son had come out, and
I see.
Just talking about their journey together and the struggle that his mum had initially, which was very, very difficult for them, coming from such a strong religious background. But they've managed to find their way through that, and they've got such a beautiful relationship now. So it was really nice to hear about them sharing that.
What other people have you had on during the year?
We had Daniel Whithouse come and speak for us, the author of Beyond Priscilla.
Okay.
Which is a fascinating book. It's talking about Daniel's journey travelling around Australia, speaking against homophobia. So, really, really interesting guy. It was great to have him along as well, sharing his story.
Did you open up any new chapters this year, or was that the year before, last year?
No, that was last year. We haven't had any new chapters this year. But we did have, in June, we had a leaders' conference, which was terrific, and we had our chapter leaders from Sydney and Perth, as well as Melbourne, were able to attend. We had a fantastic keynote speaker. Oh, actually, Joy, that was you.
Oh, yes. I quite agree. She was wonderful.
Now I understand why Joy keeps being like, and anyone else? Anyone else that you had on? Anyone?
They didn't have you on. Yeah, so no. That's all right. They've got taste.
Next time.
What's 2015 going to bring for Freedom to Be?
Well, 2015 is starting off quite busy, actually. We're marching in Pride in Melbourne, obviously,
Early
Feb. Yes, which we've been doing. I think Melbourne's been going about 5 years now doing that march, so that's pretty cool. And we're also doing a national entry for Mardi Gras.
Does that mean you make a float or are you just marching?
Well, if our budget allows, we will have a truck of sorts with lots of loud music.
that's always good.
Aim. Yeah, that's the aim. So that's actually become a biannual event for us. So it just means that we can make a bit more of a presence known, I suppose. So we're looking forward to doing that. What else are we doing next year? We're in the process of pursuing DGR status, which allows us to be a tax-deductible charity. And we're really hoping to have that go through for us, because we want to apply for grants, things like that, to further help us with education and programs for people who might come our way. That's something we really would like to see happen.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
So we've got, of course, we'll put a link through to Freedom to Be on our social media page. So if anyone wants to find out any more information, they can go there. I notice there's a lot of information about the Mardi Gras on that page too. So, but we're going to ask three questions of all our guests tonight. Mm-hmm. So are you ready, Michelle?
Oh, sure. Fire away.
So tell me, what does Christmas mean to you?
Well, at this point, Linda and I were talking about that a bit earlier, actually. I'm kind of thank God the year's over. I've had a pretty full on year. I suppose Christmas is it's time for reflecting a bit about the year, and how we've all travelled, particularly I think as a family as well. We've had a few challenges this year. It is a time for coming together with some family and friends, but it's also for Linda and I, it's also some time off work, and we get to relax a little bit, which is always really nice.
So what do you actually do on Christmas Day?
Well, for the first time in 7 years, we're actually having family at our house for Christmas.
Cooking?
Well, my older daughter has offered to cook for us this year, which is a real treat. I think I'll be hovering, but... it's lovely. That's a lovely sentiment.
You'll be doing the dishes, because the person who cooks doesn't do the dishes, Michelle.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. So we'll have two of our children with us for Christmas Day. My younger daughter is actually going to be in the US with her auntie and her grandmother over Christmas, so she won't be with us. And Linda's son, Sean, is in America as well, but those two will be catching up, which is really nice for them.
Yeah.
Have to Skype in.
Sorry, Tal?
No, I was saying you have to Skype in so that you can still have
We will. No, absolutely, we will. And we're also going camping in the new year with Linda's parents, so that will be lots of fun.
That will be interesting.
Yes. Well, we get on very well, and Linda's mum's always good having a bottle of wine hidden somewhere.
That's most important. Finally, Michelle, Christmas is often a difficult time for people. What is one Christmas survival tip you can offer?
I think, one of the, it's a bit more of a serious note, I suppose, because, strategies for people that, might be alone at Christmas is really important. It's an important thing to try and address, so that you don't feel isolated, so that you don't feel like you're not connected. I think trying to link in with a friend or other people that you may know that don't necessarily have family to spend the time with, I think that's really important if you can link in with somebody else.
I quite agree. I think that that's a very good tip. Well, we wish you and Linda a very wonderful, blessed Christmas. And Tony P says, hi, Michelle and Rev Joy. Great show as always. There you go.
Oh, lovely, from Tony. God bless her. Yeah, look, thank you so much for all your support for Freedom to Be this year. And again, back to you. We wish both of you a very Merry Christmas, a very safe and prosperous New Year.
Thank you very much. And you're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9.
Our next guest is the pastor of Crave MCC. Welcome to Spirit Lounge, Reverend Dr. Carl Hand.
Hi, Joy. It's great to hear from you as well.
Carl, congratulations first on your PhD.
Oh, thank you.
It's very exciting.
Yep. Now, we've been asking all our guests that we're having on quickly today just a few little questions. So our first one for you regarding Christmas, and so our first one here is, what does Christmas mean to you?
Well, as a Christian, Christmas, it's the time that God became a human being. So for me, the thing that Christmas reminds me of is that God is present in all of human life, like in the smallest details. And God isn't a God that kind of hovers above and transcends everything, but God's actually involved in some of the less pleasant parts of human existence. God's there in suffering, and God is there in poverty, and God's even, you know, willing to be born to a dishonest Jewish peasant woman who's camping out in a manger in an animal's keep. And has to lay her child in a food trough of an animal. God's even there in the middle of that. So that's Christmas is all about to me.
So, Carl, what do you do on Christmas Day?
Christmas Day, we actually, a group of us from church, have been doing a free lunch in the public housing in Waterloo. So our, our social compassion ministry, run by a guy called Russell and his partner Jared, is part of the Waterloo community, where there's a lot of poverty, a lot of addiction, a lot of chronic unemployment, and there's quite a number of methadone clinics in the area, and it's not a nice place to live. But he's involved in providing food on a regular basis, and we kind of pull out all the stops on Christmas Day, and we put together a traditional Christmas dinner, and we serve that. And that's an incredible way to spend Christmas Day for me. I always love doing that.
How many people come to that, Carl?
Well, last year was our first Christmas one, and we had about, I think, 65 people came in, on top of the 10 or so people who were there to serve and volunteer. So it was bigger than we expected. And we actually learnt that there would be more people who just randomly drop in, so that if you don't have enough people who've registered to attend a lunch, it's not going to be a problem. People just fill it up.
So you just have more food available.
Well, there was so much food that even though we had more people, we probably only ended up using half of it. Over-catered for the event. You learn that lesson the first time, what's the right catering amount to
Yeah. Finally, Carl, Christmas is often, as we know, a very difficult time for people. What is one survival tip you can offer?
Survival tip for Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, for me, in terms of surviving Christmas, is making the event about other people. People really struggle when there's not much for them at Christmas time, and there's maybe nobody around who loves them, or all the people who love them are busy doing something else. But if you're doing something for somebody else on Christmas Day, then you've taken your mind off yourself and you don't have to worry about that anymore. And the people that come and volunteer in our community are generally people who are living overseas from their family, or we even have some people in our church who are estranged from their families. And that ability to do something for somebody else, actually, I think we get more out of it than the people that we feed get out of it, because it gives us so much meaning to do that.
Well, thank you very much, Carl. We're wishing you a blessed Christmas, and thank you for coming on Spirit Lounge.
You too. Thanks for having me.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And our next guest is a minister with MCC Sydney. Welcome, Reverend Gavin Ward.
Thank you very much, Reverend Joy. Great to be here.
Now, we've been asking all our guests tonight three questions about Christmas, so here you go. Are you ready for this, Gavin?
I think I am, yes.
What does Christmas mean to you, Gavin?
Look, Christmas to me, it's, look, of course, being a minister, the birth of Jesus features pretty highly up there, but I also love when it gets to this time of December, the excitement in the air that's around, and it's, the world feels a little bit different, I always think, but there's also that, for me, that touch of sadness that this time of year brings as well.
Yeah. So what do you do on Christmas Day?
Oh, mainly, well, church in the morning, of course.
Yes.
9 a.m. MCC Sydney, Christmas morning, the 25th.
At Petersham. Right there.
And then family or friends for lunch and family for dinner. So, it's nice and relaxed.
And Christmas is often a difficult time for many people and many of our listeners as well. And so what is the number one Christmas survival tip that you can offer?
Look, I was thinking about this question and, you know, my first thought was, you know, around doing your shopping early and that kind of thing. But really, I think doing something selfless for another person, I think. And it all, Christmas all seems too much or too hard or too difficult or too sad. Just being able to do just something that has to be small for someone else, I think, can really help capture, again, the meaning of what Christmas is all about.
I think that's a wonderful message. And we've been talking here to Gavin Ward. Thank you very much. Do we have any?
We just hope that you and Ben and all your family have a very blessed Christmas, Gavin.
Thank you very much, and the same to you, Joy.
Thank you. Now, Joy.
Yes.
While we're here.
Yes.
I was wondering what Christmas means to you.
Christmas, yes, it's a good question. I don't know that I have the answer. I just thought everyone else could give me the answer.
I suddenly realised what you were mining for answers, and I wanted some of yours.
I might not want to share that today.
Oh, okay.
No, I think as a Christian minister, obviously, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, and I'd like to spend some time to actually reflect on what does it actually mean. Not just the fact that Jesus was born, but I look at his life, and I was talking to someone about this week, about what a rebel he was and what a radical and an agitator he was. And I guess I love that about Jesus. And so I like to think about that. What do I do on Christmas Day? Not sure.
Will you be doing anything? I was going to say, is there anything for Joy listeners that want to know?
I might be on, it's a Thursday, so I might just be on Joy that night.
It's pretty exciting.
If they'll have me.
And do you have a survival tip, Joy?
I think it's probably the same as what we've heard, is that, you know, we can sit there and feel sorry for ourselves because we're on our own and got nowhere to go. But there's a lot of people worse off, so let's get out there and do something for other people. And I think that is a really good tip. Find an organisation somewhere near you that does go and feed people. There's an organisation near me that goes out and feeds the homeless and sets up tables and chairs and by the river, and I just think it's wonderful. So find someone who does that.
There are a lot of events out there.
Yeah.
That's something I've very much noticed.
Do you actually celebrate Christmas at all?
Well, not all of my family is Jewish. I have Christian family, and we do go to every Christmas. We have Christmas lunch there. It's a lot of fun. I actually really enjoy it. You know, I like the bonbon, the ones you pull on and it explodes.
With the corny jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I actually read an interview with one of the guys that writes the jokes, and apparently it's this commitment because they can't have anything that could be remotely offensive to one person whatsoever, so they have to be so boring. But I love them. They're great.
Do you get presents?
Yeah, I still get presents. I really get to take advantage. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, that's most important, isn't it?
Taking advantage of people on Christmas.
For you, it is.
Wow, wow, Joy. No, it's a good day. It's a good day. No, I'm not one of the ones that sits at home. And
one of my other survival tips is probably Christmas is probably not the right time to come out to your family.
Sitting around the table upon Christmas Day.
Probably wait for another day.
Sav, while we're here, just want to tell everyone something.
Yeah, there's something I want to tell you.
Wait till Boxing Day.
when all the family is there, I think.
Yeah, wait one more day there.
Good evening, faithful listeners, and you're listening to the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 every Thursday from 8 till 9. Come on, it's the Spirit Lounge. It's a great one.
Isn't that what I say at church? Faith, the faithful.
That's right. Come on, don't take this one away from me. It's a classic.
We're going to talk about chaplains.
Yeah, we are.
Which I find interesting because it starts off this talking about non-religious chaplains, but chaplains traditionally are representatives of the Christian faith. So how can you have non-religious chaplains?
I think what they're just trying to say here is because of with the new chaplaincy program in schools and that we actually have people that fulfill the same role in a secular way, and so they're just saying they're not trying to say chaplains and not, it's the people that do the same job, and I think they're just doing it for the sake of the ease of the reader, even though technically they're not chaplains and chaplains aren't always necessary.
I don't quite understand the role of chaplains in a school though.
Well, what I can understand why people are annoyed is it seems to be across the board trying to replace other sort of psychology
counselors
etc. And I mean, this isn't the first time we've spoken about this issue. I think we spoke about it a few weeks back when this was first happening and there was challenges to it about this new program to have this chaplaincy program in the schools. But I thought it was really fascinating. The whole point here is that Martin Grigg, CEO of OnPsych, an Australian company which trains people to work as psychologists and social workers in schools, they're trying to find a way around these new laws by basically trying to find religious institutions that are willing to declare them as chaplains, because that's the whole issue right now, is that all the psychologists and blah, they don't fit under the funding requirements, even though they've always been there. Maybe they've, and suddenly this year, as of next year or something, they won't be able to. So they're trying to suddenly become chaplains because they're not qualified unless it's by a religious institution.
Chaplains, and as we've talked about, a lot of them have very little training.
Yeah, well,
I mean, what was it, 2 days or something to training and you can go into school as a chaplain?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess this is paired with the plan to have to really beef up the education in school, the religious instruction, I think they call it. And there was a big concern because, I mean, these people are not teachers, and that's ran people into problems in the past where suddenly, even when they are teachers in real life, they can't be called teachers. They have to be called religious instructors. And there's a whole issue here of trying to work around the fact that people are really trying to get religious education into the schools, even though strictly these public schools shouldn't be having religious education of this kind.
I don't have a problem with schools having religious education as long as they cover all religions.
No, well, and that's the whole thing, is they're specifically not.
I mean, if they're only covering Christianity and from often a very conservative point of view.
Yeah, that's been one of the major criticisms.
That's quite destructive to people.
Well, it's especially since the funny thing is that you can have with the option here is to have Christian instruction, Jewish instruction, Hindu, etc., etc., but not any secular instruction or overarching or philosophy. One of the things is that you're not allowed to teach school curriculum during this time. So the funny thing is, because most other things fall into the school curriculum, those that want to opt out aren't allowed to do any. They can do homework in their time, basically, but they're not even allowed to do any sort of secular. So you can't even do a secular humanist thing during this time. It's actually illegal. So it's turned into a funny mess.
When I was at school, which was a very long time ago, as we know, we used to have religious education, and I my parents would send a note saying I couldn't go.
Yeah.
And there would be me and usually one or two others, and we would, you know, much to the teacher's disgust, because she thought she was going to get a period off. She would have to supervise us three kids that were sitting there.
How come you didn't do religious instruction?
Because I belonged to a religious cult, and they didn't want me hearing religion from any other point of view.
Right, so it was still Christian, but it wasn't the right.
Well, a cult's not really Christian. Okay. But yeah, they didn't want me hearing anything else that might not agree with what we were told at the cult. I didn't go to mainstream school for long. They started up a cult school, and I got to go there.
So speaking of the extreme time that you had, our other news piece was that pornography in the UK has had all these laws that have been passed. So I thought, yeah, chaplaincy and sex, as we noted, is the two topics that our show covers. And that's right. Now there's censorship over the over what can be done in British pornography.
So this is a government thing?
Yeah, it's now, if you're filming porn in Britain, there's suddenly a whole list of things that you cannot do. Not to say, of course, that, you know, if you're watching American pornography, it can still be watched in Britain and it can still have all those things. It just can't be produced there.
So they can still buy this stuff?
Yeah, it's just the production. So it's quite strange.
It seems a bit odd.
And can I say, it makes it all very boring.
Yeah, there's no spanking.
That's right. So no spanking, caning, aggressive whipping, specifically aggressive, as if like you can spank, you can't spank, but you can whip lightly. I don't understand. Physical or verbal abuse, even if it's, you know, consensual, it's just acting.
No water sports.
Yes.
That's water polo.
Yeah, no water polo.
Kayaking.
No water skiing. No role playing as non-adults. Physical restraint is banned. No humiliation, which really, I mean, what's left of sex if no one could be humiliated? And then also there's female ejaculation, strangulation, face sitting and fisting.
Oh, my
gosh. The last three are put there apparently because they're life endangering. I don't know, face sitting is life endangering now.
So people can do all these things as long as no one films it.
No, you can film them. You just can't sell that.
Ah.
You can even film it. You just can't sell it because then it's pornography, right?
Oh, my gosh.
You can sext it. So
that's unbelievable.
I think it's a very strange one, especially if you're just pushing. You're basically just pushing the production overseas, right?
So the politicians are going to have to buy their porn from overseas rather than locally.
Yeah. Well, to me, it just strikes me as the classic example of just this quiet sort of aim to just try and rule people's bedrooms, you know. But you can't directly be like, no, it's now illegal in Britain to fist people, but we're just going to say you can't. But that's really what it is. Like, that's really what the mentality is, to try and, you know, police people's bedrooms. I think it's a bit strange, especially since, I must admit, so many of these really are... The one that struck me was female ejaculation. It seems, like, strangely sexist, a lot of this stuff. A lot of it's very, like, stuff to do with women specifically. And, I mean, some of it, I guess, is also to do with... I'm sure you could argue that it's, oh, but we don't want things where people are violent towards women. But at the same time, there's also stuff where it's like women in positions of power also.
But they can't even do this stuff in gay porn.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think male gay porn can do female ejaculation anyway, but yes.
No, but they can do some of the other things.
yes, they can. I don't know. This one really strikes me. I mean, technically it's not strictly religious, but to me it just strikes me as all the other stuff that we often talk about, of just people just trying to police people's sexual lives.
Bedrooms.
Yeah, people's bedrooms.
I wonder if they watch porn in government before they actually banned all this.
Yeah, I really think they should have sat down and...
What is humiliation? Oh, I've just got a video here. Let me show you.
I think you could do it. I would love to see a test. Can you imagine someone tries to test the law and tries to say, at what point is it humiliation and this and... Oh.
Everyone will be fighting to get on that jury.
Yeah. Coming to the end of another one of our shows.
I know. And Dean has sent in a message and he says, porn and woman cannot be in control positions of power.
Right. Yeah, exactly
well,
what I was
they
saying.
They can be in lots of positions of power in this.
they can in Australia, can in America. Minimising the positions, though.
You can do it in the UK as long as you don't sell the film of it.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
No one's allowed to see.
No.
For money.
Well, not as long as, you know, it can have people from other countries in there, but not from the UK.
Yeah. Oh, great.
I don't know. I don't quite understand all this. So that's our show for tonight. We talked to Michelle from Freedom to Be, and we talked to Dr. Carl, Reverend Dr. Carl Hand, about the Crave Conference, and we talked to Reverend Gavin Ward about the Christmas Eve service, and I'm going to put up a link because I'm really clever like that.
Yeah, we'll pop them all up.
On our social media page.
That's right. So, by the way, if you're not on that, please get on Facebook, look for the Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Because we do sometimes put things up there, and if we get, and the more people we get up there, I think we'll be even more motivated to be in even more contact.
We need people to like us.
Yeah.
It's sad, isn't it?
And that, and we don't mean just with your hearts. You need to translate that into statistical data.
Yeah, we need to say we've got these many friends on our social media page.
Classic.
It's sad, isn't it? Well, that's a show for another week, and we will be back next Thursday at 8 o'clock with a very special guest.
Oh, it's very exciting.
We're excited. So we're not going to tell you who.
You'll find out.
Tune in. So it's good night from Rev Joy.
And good night from Tal.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.